But I want us to turn, you can turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and I want to read it. It says, "Wives, to your own husband as to the Lord. And for the husband is the," in my Bible, it's the King James, New King James says, "the head of the wife." In the Greek, in the Hebrew, back in the, it's not is the head. The husband is the source of the wife. As also Christ is the source of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. For this reason," and this is a quote of Genesis, the 2nd chapter, "for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." You know, there's scriptures all through the Bible, all through the Word of God. It started in Genesis that God set it up that one man would marry one woman. I mean, case closed, you know, what the Word of God says. And, you know, it says, we read in Ephesians, wives. It's not two men, two women. It says, wives, be to your husbands as to the Lord. In other words, and for the husband, the man, is the source of the wife. He's the provider. He's the, just like Jesus is the source of this for the church, so is the husband. So it's, you know, God set it up. America has become dragged, or has become dragged and drugged into and with this cup of secularism. It's a false and wicked religion. The U.S. Supreme Court in 1963 made the decision to remove the Bible from public schools, which led to the establishment of a religion of secularism, which is given birth to a complete moral breakdown in America. You know, the series that we've been watching, Monumental, our founding fathers founded this nation on the Word of God. They prayed. They prayed and founded this nation on the Word of God. They prayed every time they made a decision in Congress. George Washington prayed before he went to battle, before he did things. He prayed. All of the leaders of our nation, they lived a life of prayer, seeking God. what has happened? Because of what the Supreme Court did in 1963, you know, it's been going downhill ever since. You know, we've got a bunch of leaders in our nation that don't trust God. They don't look to Him. And one of the things that you hear testimonies all the time of all these Muslims that are coming to the Lord because they had a vision of Jesus. They had a vision. They had a dream. They saw Jesus, and it was just a real deal, and they came to Jesus. Well, I'm praying, and I think I want to encourage y'all to join me in praying that our leaders in our nation would have an encounter with Jesus so big that, of course, it's kind of like what happened to Paul in the book of Acts, that he got knocked off of his donkey, you know. But I'm just asking and believing and praying, God, just let our leaders have a vision of You with such magnitude, such awesomeness, and be like what we were studying last week about King David in Psalms 27. One thing have I desired, to have our leaders have such an impact on a revelation of Jesus, a revelation of Him and God, that one thing that they would desire was to be in His presence and to do what He said. Amen? Praise God. So would y'all join with me in praying that prayer continuously? Because if it doesn't, you know, the United States, I'm sorry to say, it's one nation under God, but we've basically forgot about God. There's a complete moral breakdown in America. In Proverbs 29, verse 10, it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instructions. In other words, blessed is the one who heeds God's instruction. In Proverbs, wisdom is it's God. But where there is no revelation, and we can see this happening over and over and over again, when there's no revelation of God, when there's no revelation of Jesus, you know, the people cast off restraint. They just do what they want to do. Amen? I mean, our nation is just, if it feels good, do it. If you think it's okay, do it. Don't worry about it. You can say amen or oh me. I mean, it's both. Oh me. Because so many times. But you know, like I said at the beginning, America's founders laid the foundation for this nation on biblical principles. His Word, the Word of God. That was the foundation for this nation. In Psalms 86, verse 7, it says, in the day of my trouble, this is saying we need to be praying. We need to be crying out to God. It says in Psalms 86, verse 7, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon You. I will call upon You, Lord, and You will answer me. I mean, and I'm encouraging all of us to be praying Tuesday. If you can't get here, pray anyway. Amen? But I know most the ones that live around Weslaco, even if you work, you get off for an hour for lunch, you can come pray. Amen? We don't have to eat. As much as I love to eat. But in the day of my trouble, and we're troubled. This nation is troubled. Amen? I mean, we're a blessed nation. We're a blessed people. I mean, isn't it awesome that we can come together and fellowship and worship and praise God and everything else? I mean, there's some places you can't do that. But you can do it here. But we're being troubled because the morality of our nation has gone to pot. Amen? But in the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, Lord, and you will answer me. You know, God really, really does aid those who call upon him. I mean, we heard the testimony about Delma Franklin. We've heard the testimony of other people of healing, of God doing things. When we pray, when we seek him, he answers. So prayer is a practical and an effectual means of obtaining help from God. Crying out to him in the hour of our needs. Amen. God is so good. God is so good. You know, I could go on and on and on and give you histories and things that's happened, you know, concerning marriage, concerning the homosexual agenda. There's fewer than half, these are statistics that have been done, there's fewer than half of Americans say homosexuality is sinful. You know, it kind of blows me away. But anyway, we're not going to get into that. Our Supreme Court Tuesday is going to start hearing arguments about making it nationwide to allow gay marriage. As of today, there's 37 states that allow gay marriage. So, you know, they're just people crying out to God that God would heal our land. Amen. So this is Tuesday that is a time of prayer and fasting to believe that Jesus will answer prayer. Amen. Not only did, you know, about the, to me it's not just, okay, it's about this making it legal in every state in the nation that it's okay for same-sex couples to be married. That's one thing. But what to me is a bigger thing is to bring our nation back to Jesus, back to morality, back to him. Amen? I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, it's not... It's about loving people and loving him, but standing on the Word of God. You know, the Word of God starts in Genesis and it goes to Revelation. It's not just, as some people say, this part or that part. No. Jesus spoke. You know, when Jesus spoke, he was teaching from the Old Testament. That was all the Word of God they had back then. And Jesus said and taught from the Old Testament. You know, all the apostles, everything that they said was based on the Old Testament. Amen? So, I mean, it's the whole Word. You really read the New Testament, you're reading the Old. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't believe in the Old Testament, just in the New Testament. Well, if you really believe the New Testament, you're believing the Old Testament, because Paul, Luke, Matthew, John, James, they all were quoting scriptures from the Old Testament. Amen? That was the Word of God back then. I mean, that was the only word they had, was the Old Testament. So praise God. So we need to be praying that. Do you have your Bible open? And read John 17. I think we closed last week with John 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life.
that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was.
Jesus is making the same statement that David made, that one thing that I desire. One thing I desire in Psalms 27, verse 4, is to behold the beauty of the Lord. One thing. He defines eternal life and in this powerful way, that they may know you, Father, the only true God, and that they may know Jesus, who you sent. Jesus is praying in John 17, the high priestly prayer of being crucified. Before he's crucified, he is defining the essence of eternal life, the unfolding of God's beauty to the human spirit. That is eternal life. When we accept him, we give our lives to him, then he unfolds God's beauty to the human spirit. Eternal life is not eternal existence only. You know, those really, you think it's eternal existing. No, I mean, the people in hell have eternal existence. They live for it on and on anew. The thing that distinguishes eternal life from eternal existence is the unfolding of the beauty of God to the human spirit. That's what makes a difference when we have eternal life, is we see the unfolding of the beauty of God, of him. That was what we said in Psalm 27, that David had this one desire to behold the beauty of God. That was his one desire. I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week, and we'll talk about it some more. But one thing, I mean, David had everything. I mean, he was rich, he was famous, he was a mighty warrior. You know, he had all this stuff. But in the end, the one thing that he wanted, the one thing, and I'm going to share with you, we all need to come to that place. It doesn't make any difference what we're doing, how we're doing it, blah, 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 and all this other stuff. The one thing that we need to desire is to behold the beauty of the Lord, to have a revelation of his awesomeness. And I guarantee you, if you pray and you ask him, he'll give it to you. Amen? I mean, you know, we get caught up in things. I mean, we all do it. We even get caught up in ministry. I'm helping this, I'm doing this, I'm doing, and pretty soon that ministry becomes the one thing. No. The one thing is him. The ministry, the works, all those other things are because of him. Amen? And you know, we all have that problem of getting caught up in things. I mean, it happens to all of us. And don't say, oh, it doesn't happen to me. Yeah, it does, you know. The one thing. That is eternal life, that they may know you, Father, the only true God, and that they may know Jesus, who you sent. Praise God. Jesus was defining the essence of eternal life, the unfolding of God's beauty to the human spirit. Eternal life is not eternal existence only. It's beholding the beauty of Jesus. Praise God. You know, Jesus was summarizing in John 17. He says, Father, it's been your plan. This was a plan that God had from the beginning to make yourself known. And in that unveiling, that is the essence of what makes life is. The unveiling of Him. Life forever. When we are fascinated, marveled, filled with awe at who you are. And that is the distinguishing issue that makes eternal life eternal life. It is the presence of His beauty, the new delights when new waves of His beauty happen. Amen? So praise God. So that's one of my prayers. In other words, that we all would see the beauty of Him and have a revelation of how awesome He is. But then the other prayer is that we pray for our leaders. We pray for them. It says that, you know, we're supposed to pray for our leaders. But I'm praying that they will have a revelation of who He is. You know, for the leaders from the president on down in Washington, that they'd have a revelation of Jesus and get excited about Jesus. Not just excited about what's going on in the nation, blah, 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 and this and this and the other, but excited about Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if everything you heard come out of their mouth was about God and about Jesus? Amen. I mean, that was, you know, I can imagine, well, I can't imagine it because I wasn't there, but our founding fathers, that they founded this nation on the Word of God, on morality. That they prayed before they made a decision. And wouldn't it be awesome if Congress ever, before they made any laws, any rules, anything, that they prayed and asked God to give them wisdom without a motive of underneath motive? You know, I know some people can pray and they got an underneath motive that they're just making yak, 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 you know. But wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome that we came back to that place? Amen? And I'd rather it happen that we did that willingly and not be forced to it. Amen? I mean, we read and we study and we hear about the persecuted Christians, the persecuted church, the persecuted, we need to be praying for them. But praise God, you know, we're not persecuted here. I mean, we are to one degree or another. You stand up for the Word of God enough and you'll get a little persecution. There's no question about that. But I'm talking about really persecuted. But praise God. So we need to really be praying, amen? We need to be praying that in the time of our trouble, God, you hear us. Amen? Amen. Father, we come to you and we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we thank you and we just in advance of Tuesday, Lord, we pray and we repent. We repent of our leaders turning away from you, of not basing everything they do on your word. Lord, we repent for them. And Lord, we just pray and ask that you will move upon people in authority, that they will do what your word says. And we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name.